Okay, so we've been discussing the last Gittin Shiur, which was 2 weeks ago. We were talking about the principle of Eid Echad Neman Bisurin, the idea that we believe in Eid Echad, a single aid, possibly not even a kosher aid. It's one of the issues. In the area of Isurim, even though when it comes to Dine Mamanis, anything relating to civil law, or Arayos, there we require two witnesses. So again, just to look at the Shaka Vitaria here very quickly, it's a very challenging conversation in the Gemara. Again, the background was that we require that the witness that the shliach who comes and delivers the get, that he proclaimed b'fanei nechtam, either for the reason of lishma, as we've discussed, that's the reasoning of Rabba, or for the purposes of kiyum hakosamos, to authenticate the shtar, to establish that it is indeed a bona fide contract. So the Gemara says about both of these, the same Gemara based on Gimel and Aleph, again, five lines down from the top, Ularabba da'amar l'pi she'in b'kiyum lishma li'boi trei mididahava kol eduyos shebetorah. If indeed the reason, according to Rabbah, that you require b'fanei nechta, base on the base, five lines down, I'm just going back to the Shakla Vitaria, if the reason that you required the shliach to say b'fanei nechta, is to establish that it is lishma, that the get was properly prepared, so why is it that one is sufficient? After all, mididahava kol eduyos shebetora, generally when you require evidence, you require two witnesses. How can we get away with a single shliach proclaiming b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta? And that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara gives an initial answer, which is surprising. The Gemara says, Eid Echad Neman b'Isurim. The Gemara invokes a principle which we find elsewhere, and that is that in the area of Isur v'Heter, you don't need two witnesses, you only need one. What's surprising about that answer is that most of us would not have classified lishma, evidence that the get was properly prepared. Most of us would not have assumed that that would be under the rubric of Isurim. We would assume that that's classic Davashib Erba, in Davashib Erba, Pachs Mishayim, because it is a requirement of a get, and the get is the mechanism by which she becomes, no longer an Eishes Ish, permitted to move on with her life and remarry someone else. One would have thought, Ein lecha davar she'be'erva gedola mizu. So why did the Gemara think that lishma in a get is Isurim? And it's true that the Gemara immediately challenges it, but even the challenge takes a form which is challenging in terms of reading the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Emer darmina neid echad neman b'isurim kagon chaticha safek shol chelav safek shol shuman." The Gemara says, "What do you mean neid echad neman b'isurim? Echad neman b'isurim is a classical case of which is when you have an object and you're not sure whether it's kosher or non-kosher, and it's safek chelav safek shuman. You don't know whether it's chelev, which is prohibited, or shuman, which is permissible." You could have said any other issue of isur v'heter, just an example. So then, an eid echad can identify that there is no issue, that there is no problem. However, that's because it's delo iskazik isura. There is no negative presumptive state that need be overcome. All you have is a neutral object which needs to be identified, and for that, Eid Echad Neman b'Isurim is certainly sufficient. However, Aval Hacha, in our case here, and here's where it gets confusing, the Gemara says, "The Ischazik Isura De'esh Asish Havadavar Shebe'erba Vein Dover Shebe'erba Pachas Mishnah." The Gemara here seems to integrate two different ideas. One is that even if you argue that Lishma is a requirement connected with Isurim, nonetheless, there is a previous status quo, namely Eish HaSish, and therefore, in Isurim, Eid Echad would not be Neman in this particular case. And then, the Gemara integrates with that, almost seamlessly, HaVadavar Shebe'erba, Ve'ein Davar Shebe'erba Pachas Mishnayim, which seems to be a totally different argument, namely the argument that this is not Isur and Heter at all, it is Ishus, it's Davar Shebe'erba. So, the very initial assumption that Lishma could be defined as Isurim is a problem, and the rejection of that assumption is done also in a complex way. Instead of just saying, this is Erva, this is Isurim Hether, it sounds like the Gemara is saying more than that. It sounds like it is somehow linking together two different ideas. It's Chazak Isura of Isur requires two. Davar Shiv Erva requires two. Are those two different points or a single point? If a single point, how do we understand it? So what we began to discuss last time was two different issues. Number one, we zeroed in on the Hava Mina. Why did the Gemara think that Lishma is a problem of Isurin? And this, of course, underscores a major objective issue. What is the line between different disciplines of halacha or different categories of halacha when there seems to be a blurring of lines, precisely? And this is something that comes up all the time. In other words, specifically here, what is Isur and what is Erva? For example, it's an issue that comes up even in the Sugya, the Rishonim, Nida. Right? A woman is believed, we'll see this in a moment, right, to establish her status as an Isha Nida, or not, or her Tahara. Is that Isur Veheter? Or is that Erva? Another example. The Gemara later on Daf Samech Dalet Amud Aleph, let's turn there for a moment. Gemara quotes a braisa on the bottom of the page, the last three lines. Ha'omer l'shlucha otzei v'kadish l'isha stam. A guy tells the shliach, you know, either he has great trust in his shliach or he's not very discriminating about who he's going to marry. But either way, the instructions are go out there and find me a wife. Okay? And he doesn't specify. So, umeis, shlucho, the shliach dies. He's not heard from ever again. So the Gemara says, Aser b'chol anashim sheba'olam. He, meaning the mishaleach, the would-be chasan, cannot remarry. What's the problem? So the Gemara explains, chazaka shliach osa shlichuso. Right? We generally assume that when someone is given a task, that he will execute that task. That's an interesting point in its own right. Chazaka shliach osa shlichuso. Okay? And since that's the case, you have the following problem. Any woman that he would now want to marry might be the sister, the mother, the daughter of the person who the shliach betrothed on his behalf. And even though Minat Torah, he can marry more than one wife, but he can't marry a close relative of his wife. And since he doesn't know who the shliach was mekadesh on his behalf, therefore he cannot marry anyone else.
What about if he owns?
That's a good question. So right, if you were talking about somebody who didn't have any other relatives, presumably that this wouldn't apply. But what about the following case? So Gioris is a good example. What about the following case? Let's say there's a family, right? And all the women of the family who are potentially related to each other all step forward and say, it wasn't us. We did not get married to this mishaleach. Let's say there's a mother and a daughter, or two sisters, or a mother and two sisters, or, you know, a grandmother and, you know, it could be a whole family. You know, if you use our imaginations, it could really be like an interesting kind of case. Anyways, they all come, all the potential psulim, based on korba, in terms of the proximity of the korba, they all come forward, right, and present themselves. Each one says, I did not get married to the shliach, nor did my mother, nor did my daughter, nor did my sister, right? Each one says it about themselves, and the others confirm this. So all five of the women of the family, who could potentially be a problem, step forward, and establish that there's no problem, there's no issue. So what happens in that case? Right? It's the Gioris case is a lot simpler, right? In the case of Gioris, that's all there is. So it's no problem. But that's the only Gior. It could be a person who doesn't have any. There is no mother, there is no daughter, there is no sister. You could have that as well. I guess, in theory. But Gioris, at least we know, it's objected. What would happen in that case? So if you look at the Ran in the back of the Gemara, if I can find it right away, if not... If you look on Lamed Omer Aleph in the Dapei Harif, so the Ran quotes, this is a very famous argument between the Ramban and the Ran. Just one second. Lamed Omer Aleph in the Dapei Harif. Haraban Hikshetz, if you see where it says Hagos Kavos Yair, I think on the side, on the left side, right on that line, on the Lamed Omer Aleph and the Dapei Harif. Okay. Haraban Hiksha, Di Hachi My Muchach Mehod the Chazaka Shliach Also Shlichuso Liola Me Melachad In Chazaka. Filu Hachi, I'm sorry for 1 second. Harbe, Avulu Osir Banashim Sheishlen Krobos, Shein Chazaka Ala Krobos, Shein Bos, Ladum Befanenum Elisla. Ho'ilu Baos, Krobos, is the part that I want. The Rabban says, but if the Krobos, if the relatives of this woman, who he now wants to marry, would all step forward, Va'omru, Lo Kidashnu Shliach, Vadai Mutabahen, we would believe them, and he would then be permitted to marry the one that he wants to marry, any of these women. In other words, if there's a family, a mother, a daughter, a granddaughter, you know, some sisters, whatever it is, and they each step forward and say, none of us were married by the shliach, he could marry one of them. Why? Deid echad neman bisurin. That would be considered a echad neman bisurin. The kolshkin hacha delos kazak isura. Especially here, where there is no cheskas eshes ish on any of them. Either way, it's not a problem of cheskas eshes ish. It's a problem of chashash krove ishto. And there's no mukzakos. There's no presumed status. These are just any people. Again, the shliach was given the task. He rode off on his, you know, white horse, never to be seen from again. We're already postulating that he did the shlichos because of the chazaka shliachos shlichuso. But certainly to any individual or family, there's no chazaka that they were the ones who are now off limits to this particular chasam. The chashash should be almahu. Koshkin shemitol shenemono salatzman v'nisos lacherim nemono sein lozeh. Elu devarav, that's what the Ramban says. So then the Ran goes on to say, v'lo nisbaru etzli. This doesn't seem to be correct. The Mishnah of the Brisa doesn't start making chilukim if a relative stepped up and they said it wasn't us, but that makes a difference. It sounds like it's across the board. If indeed, without their stepping forward, we would prohibit him from marrying any of them. So then what's going on here? By stepping up and claiming that none of them were the Krovos, what are they actually accomplishing? They are enabling him to marry someone else. So the effect of their testimony is to enable an Ishus. If that's the case, Heichu Mutab Edu Seidachad, Havalei Davar Sheberba. The Ein Pakos Mishnayim Afagav Galo Es Chazak Yisura Sharfil Yisur Omruchein, and so on. In other words, this is a very well known argument between the Rambam and the Ramban. How do you define Davar Shebe'erba as opposed to Isurim if identifying yourself as someone who is not Krovas ishto, right? Or by based on your identification that the other one is not krovas ishto, right? Which has the effect of allowing a marriage to take place, even though if you look at the substance of that edus, it's really about identification. I wasn't involved in this particular kiddushin. That's all I'm really saying. I'm not being made about a kiddushin. I'm being made about a non-event, number one. Moreover, I'm not being made about... I'm not saying something happened to me. I'm saying something didn't happen to me. I'm also not even being made about an ishta. I'm basically saying, identifying myself as a non-karov to this man. That's all. So the effect is erva. The substance is isur. According to the Ramban, eidacha nema bisur. According to the Ran, that is a problem of ein davar shebe erva pachas mishnayim.
The Ran would be two presumably.
Yeah. Absolutely correct. Because it's ein davar shebe erva pachas mishnayim. The irony is that the Neachronim note this. There's another Ramban in Kiddushin that seems to say the opposite. It's a slightly different case, but it might be a worse case, which might make it worse. Let's say the opposite problem. Namely, a woman is miskadeshes, and she doesn't know who the man is. So if you look at the Mishnah in Kiddushin Samach Gimel Amud Beis, has such a case. And the Ramban seems to say, well, it depends exactly how the edus takes place. Under certain conditions, maybe you'd believe him to say, it was me, based on Eidacha Nemun B'Yisurin. I'll give you another example. Edus of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Is that Edus Dav Shaberva or Edus Isurim? So the Rambam, in a very famous halakha, in Perek Tezayin, Hilchos Sanhedrin Halakha Bav, I mentioned it in the very end of this year, 2 weeks ago. The Rambam is a very famous halakha. The Rambam says, what happens if an Eid Echad comes to court and he testifies about a particular object or item, he says it's a chalev. That's called Eid Echad Nemun Bisurin. And now, you wouldn't be allowed to eat that object because it's established as a chatzah shalitza. Correct? That's regular Eid Echad Nemun Bisurin. So what do I need the Rambam for? The Rambam took it a step further. The Rambam says, what happens now if somebody comes over to this object after it's been established by an Eid Echad as chalev, and he wants to eat it. And you give him asra, you say, that's chalev, don't eat it. And he eats it anyway. Will you give malchus? There are two people who watch him eat it. But only one person established that it was chalev. So that's a famous rule of the Rambam, right? Ha'isur atzmo huchsak b'eid echad. If Eid Echad says it's chalev, you can then use that information. Tried to explain it a couple of weeks ago. The information is now in the system. It's circulating in the system. How did it get in? Through the door of Isurim. Can you now apply it also to Malchus? The Rambam says yes. Now the truth is it's not so simple. There are other Rambams. And the Yonos HaKalim try to struggle to explain what appears to be discrepancy. The Rambam in Perek Chaf Hilchos Yisurei Bia, if you want to look it up, in Perek Aleph Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Halakha Chaf Aleph. There are a bunch of other Rambams where it doesn't seem so simple, and you might have to make distinctions. But this is the most famous one is the one that has this idea. You know, it gets in the system, you can use it. That's Perek Tazayin Hilchos Sanhedrin Halakha Bav. So in that Rambam, the Rambam gives another example. One example is the one we just mentioned, Chelev. The other example is Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So somebody comes to court and he says, this guy is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Right? Nafkamina in terms of whether, you know, the kahuna, etc. So is that Eid Echad? Rambam seems to say yes. However, once it's established, then the consequences, again, will apply even in terms of Malchus, etc. The Tosas Rid in Kiddushin, Daf Samach Vav, Amud Aleph says, to establish someone as Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, is a Davar Sheberva. Ein Davar Sheberva, Pachas Mishnayim. In fact, there's a famous debate in the Poskim, I may have mentioned it, I don't remember, whether there's Hazama in cases of Eid Echad Nemun B'Yisurin ever. I think I may have mentioned it. For example, two witnesses come and they testify, this crop, or this wine that you have in your you're holding in your property was touched by non-Jew, it's Yai Nesach. Okay? Which means it's Asur B'Hana, Asur B'Achila, you can't get any pleasure from it. It basically is worthless to you. Then, later on, two other Edom come along, and they establish, you don't know anything, you're testifying, you saw that this Yayin was made Yayin Nesach. It's not true. Is there Hazama? That's a classic case. The Manu Ayisim is a classic case of Hazama. In a regular Eidos, in Dine Maminis or Dine Nefashos, we would consider this to be a case of Hazama. And we would say, Vasisim lo kashazamam lasos lachiv. He tried to cause me $100 loss, right? And therefore, he should suffer $100 loss. That's the rule of Azam, in addition to everything else. But here, it's a little bit different because this isn't Eidos Mamon. This is Eidos Iser. Eid Echad can say, it's Yai Nesach too. So it just happens that two did, and now you establish Yimanu Ayisem, is that Azama? Is there Hazama on two Eidim be Isurim or not? That's the question. So the Ksos says yes, Ksos HaChoshen says yes, and Siminat of Ches, and the Nesiva Sanishpat says no. Says even in a case where you require two witnesses in Isurim, for example, we said in our Gemara, we'll go back to this in a minute, Eid Echad cannot beat out his Kazak Isurim. That's a simple reading of our Gemara. We'll see in a moment. As we've already noted, there are other Rishon. So if you have a Tzchazik Yisura, Eid Echad doesn't win. So then you need two witnesses. Right? But it's still Yisurim. Just so you need two witnesses because Eid Echad is not Ne'eman. So the rule is, says the Ksos, if you need two witnesses, it's subject to Hazama. And the Nesiva says, no, just because you need two witnesses, it's still Yisurim. And since it's Yisurim, the rule is that there's no Hazama. Hazama only applies in an Eidos Bebesdin. And Isurim, even when you need two witnesses, is not Eidos Bebesdin. Actually, this is connected to the Nesivos about Shtaros that we talked about, the Piyam Vlom Diksavam. We talked about it 3 or 4 weeks ago. The Nesivos is of the opinion, to explain the Rambam, if you all recall, the Rambam had this view that the Rambam seemed to say that Shtaros are only Eidos Drabanan. Because every shtar is a problem of the PM below the Piksaba. Hi, but what do you do with a get and a shtar kiddushin and a shtar shikhur ebed? We know that the Eidos there is accepted on a Daraisa level. So the Nesivos explanation was that's because it's a shtar kinyan. These aren't just regular shtaros raya evidence. These are shtaros that change status. And then what he went on to explain was the case of a shtar kinyan is really two eidos in one. The first part is eidos b'isurim. Just so you need two witnesses because it's a chazak isurim. So you need two witnesses to come and say the get's a good get. The vehicle is A-OK. As for the maisa, the eidim don't know anything about that. They didn't see it. Why do we believe that the maisa took place? Anansadi. The world is our witness. Because if you prepare a document, a legal document, and it ends up in the hands of the party written in the document, then 99% of the cases, it got there because you gave it to them. It didn't fall out of your pocket, and it happened coincidentally to end up specifically in that person's rishos. So we, the world, we testify about what took place, the gay rishon. As far as the get is concerned, the kashrus of the get, the Edom work, Ivan Tzvi Piyam Velok Biksavam, no, because that's Eid Echad being Surim. And in Isurim, it's not a Din in Bezdin, and therefore there's no problem with Piyam Velok Biksavam. Biksavam is only a problem when you need Eidos Bebezdin. This is not Eidos Bebezdin. So what is that Nesivos based on? That's the Nesivos in Siman Chav Ches. And he refers back to it in Siman Lamed Ches. Meaning, even though you need two witnesses, because it's Chazak Yisura, you're trying to change the status of Eishas Ish, it's still Isurim. Isurim are not the Din and Bezdin, and therefore the Piksavam is no problem. That's the Nesivos. And the Ksos says, no, I think that whole analysis is wrong. The second that you are operating with two, there is a notion of Bezdin, and therefore, if there happens to be Hazama, there'll be Hazama. Fasisim lo kashas amam lasos lachim. Not only that, the proof of the solus is twofold. Number one, he says, number one, some people think that the rule of kivin shehigid, shuvei nechozer magid, that you only have one opportunity to tell your story. You can't retract, you can't change, and all things being equal, there are some exceptions. After you tell your story. So the Kso says, I think that applies in Isurim as well as in Mamon and Nefashos. Because when you choose to operate with Beis Din, especially when you're using two kosher witnesses, even though the area is Isurim, when you choose to do that, we treat it as real Eidus. So there's Azama, and there's Kivin Sheik and Shuvah Nechozer Umagid. That is the view of the Ksos. And the Nesiva says, no, that's all wrong. Isurim is Isurim. There's no Chalos Beis Din, there's no Chalos Eidus, there's no Azama, there's no Kivin Shehigid. So the Ksos says, I have a great proof that there is Azama in Eidacha Neman B'Isurim, or in Isurim. What's my great proof? So doesn't everybody remember the very first sugya in Masechet Makos? First sugya in Masechet Makos deals with exceptional cases. That's what the Gemara there asks. How come you're starting with the exceptions and not the rule? Right? And one of them is Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. A guy comes to court, or two Edom come to court, and they testify about a certain individual that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. They testify about his lineage. And it turns out they're lying. So the whole discussion of the Mishnah is, in that case, you can't say kashas. What are you going to do? Make the Edom b'nei grusha b'nei chalutza? Right? They're not. So what do? You give them malchus. Because it says in the Torah, kashas amal la'asos lachim. And it also says, losana, right, l'reacha eid shaker. So even though you cannot apply kashas amal la'asos lachim, because you can't make somebody who's not a ben, Grusha, you can't make a Levi into a Kohen and a Kohen into a Levi, and can't make a kosher person a Ben Grusha into a Chalutza. But you can still punish him. So the Ksos says, I don't understand what the Nesiva is talking about. He's denying that Isurim are subject to Hazama. He never read the Sugya and Makos about Besam and Aleph, Ben Grusha and Chalutza. Right? So that's the first line of the Ksos. Then he says, alright, the truth is, he says, I know it's really a debate. According to the Rambam, Inuka Sanhedrin, right, Ha'isur Atzmo Beit Echad Huchzak, who says that Isurim includes not only Chaleb, but Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, I have a good raya. When you need two witnesses, and it takes place in court, even though the subject matter is Isurim, nonetheless, the rule is Hazama. But, of course, our Rishonim would disagree. There is a Tosfos Rid in Kiddushin Samach Vav Amud Aleph who says that Eidus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is Ein Davar Shebe'erva Pachos Mishnayim. According to the Tosfos Rid, Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza doesn't prove anything about Hazama and Isurim. So the point I'm trying to make here is there's a wide-ranging debate in numerous cases. I just gave you three or four examples. What is the line between Erva, or Mamon, or Nefashos on one side, in different cases, and Isurim on another? Another example. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Vav Kuvchav Zayin, that a person is Neman to identify a Bechor. Right? So that he can receive the double portion of his Nachal. Father, certainly Neman, Yakir. When the Gemara says in general that a person is Neman, so there's a debate among the Rishonim, meaning he's Neman together with another aid, or in its own right. After all, identifying a Bechor so that he will take a double portion, what is that exactly? Is that Isur? Is that Mamon? The consequences are Mamon, right? On the other hand, the substance, you might argue, is really Isur. Just identifying who the person is. So the Rashbam seems to say you require two witnesses. The Tosfos Rid in Bava Basra says you could get away with one witness. And then he says maybe it depends on the Gemara in Yavamos Lamed Tes Amud Beis. How do you identify who's a Yavam for purposes of Yibum? Do you need two witnesses for that? Or since you're just defining or identifying or establishing who the person is, what his status in the family is, that's just called Isurim. Yeah.
If the father can identify a son, is a mamzer.
Yes.
And there is no question about mamzer.
So there, but that's a little bit of a tricky issue. In the Sugyan Bava Basra, Kufkav Zayin, and in the, it's repeated in the Sugyan Kiddushin. Again, those people, I guess, are learning Daf Yom. Did they finish Kiddushin yet?
Not yet.
Are they close, right? Where are they up to? Okay, as I recall, that's, I don't learn Daf Yom, but that Gemara, I think, is on Ayin Dalit or so. With days, they have the Tosis there. So Tosis has essentially three deos, Tosis in Kiddushin, Tosis in Bava Basra, and a little bit Tosis in Bechoros also. Have three deos. Why it is that a person can identify someone as a mamzer? Some of them think that it's noveah, the father at least. Some think it's noveah from the edus of Yakir, that if I can identify a child as a bechor, so let's say I say about my number two child or my number three child that he's a bechor. Everybody knows that the other two are older, right? So that's how some of the Balei Tosfos explain the nemanus of Yakir implicitly includes nemanus of Mamzerus. Because what I'm really saying is these other children are psulim of some sort. Or is it just a common denominator? Just like I can identify the status of my child vis-a-vis Yerusha, so too I'm neman vis-a-vis his other side. So that is a very important issue. As I recall, again, there are different views and Tosfos on the matter. The Bahag, and Rabbeinu Nisanel, and Tosfos themselves. Yeah. So that's another example of where this comes up. We'll talk about this a little bit going forward. So the point is, now we get back to our question. So the Gemara at Havamina, that Lishma, when I identify Lishma in a get, the get was done proper. It was prepared properly. Is that Erva? Is that Iser? So again, if you look at the consequences, why is this important? Erva. Right? I mean, we're not interested in the get, in an abstract way. We're interested in it because of its impact on Heter Isha Lashuk. I always like to use the muscle of filing, you know. If you're filing away this, the Kabbalah Seidus, which I call filing, you know, when the court clerk hears this fact, you know, where does he put it? On which file? Right? We're not interested in the autobiography or the history of Gerush and Lishma per se. But what do we care? Get number, whatever is Lishma. Where do you file it? Under the personal status of the Isha in question. This belongs to her case file, right? Is she an Eish HaSish? Is she a Pnuya? Does she have the right to remarry? However, if you look at the substance of this Eidos, it's not Eidos, one would think at least, it's not Eidos on a Maisa Gerushin. It's not Eidos about the change itself or the action. It's Eidos on a detail. It's just identifying, right, the Heftza shall get. That's all it's doing. Then that's Isurim. That's like the Ben Grushim and Chalutza. It's like the, you know, she's not a Krova. Now again, you could be Mechalic between these cases too. The question is, where do you draw the line? What are the criteria? But we can understand well, at least now, why the Gemara may have thought that this is Iser. Tosfos had another suggestion, which we spoke of last time, and that is, maybe the Gemara thought that Edechonem Bisurim is only, it will apply here because Ein Dover Shaber V'Pachas Mishnayim only applies Le'asar, not Lahatir. That's the idea Tosfos suggests. As we noted then, there's also, every bit of a reason to say exactly the opposite. You need more credible testimony to be matir than to be oser, or to be oser than to be matir. This seems to be a broad argument between the Chachmei Tzorfat and the Chachmei Svara. So there are different explanations to the Havamina. As for the continuation of the Gemara, maybe it depends on another issue. That is the nature of a Nechonam and Bisurim from another point of view. That is what we began talking about last time. When we have different criteria, different standards of evidence, how do we understand those differences? If you have a single standard, it's easy to say that that single standard is the dividing line, it's the Rubicon between truth and doubt. But you need a certain level of proof. Anything less than that is always operating doubt. Now, there are different levels of doubt, something we discussed a lot last year. Right? There's doubt, which is 50-50. You know, there's doubt where, on the contrary, it's even miut, right, or against the chazaka. There's doubt where there's very strong, compelling reason to rely. There's a rov, there's a chazaka, there's a rov and a chazaka, there's a miut shein amatsui. There are different levels within doubt, obviously. That's what we have klalei hachra'a v'hora, how to paskin, how to decide whenever you encounter doubt. But the point is that if we had a single standard of testimony or a proof, it would be easy to say that this is the standard, this is the gold standard. Anything less than that is a level of doubt. And in certain areas of halacha, we're allowed to proceed in the context of doubt. We don't have to be chained to the requirement of evidence of proof of certainty. However, if we have more than one standard, apparently have more than one standard of truth beyond doubt, so that becomes a little more challenging. How do we understand the discrepancies between two different levels of proof? A gold standard and a lesser standard, but one which we still perceive to be not just something that we, you know, b'dieved rely upon, but something that we accept as, all things being equal, fact. And that, of course, is the challenge of understanding the relationship between Eidos on the one hand and Eidechad Neman B'Isurim on the other. And we went through a little of this a couple of weeks ago. It's a massive topic. The role of Eidechad itself in Mamon is part of that topic, the fact that Eidechad is Mechayev Shvua. The question whether Eidechad and Isurim is Dafka Ksherim, people who are worthy of giving testimony in Beis Din, non-krovim, only ksherim lahayid v'bezdin, or even other nemanim, is part of this question. The ability to overcome its chazak isura is yet a third issue. In other words, the Gemara here seems to say, Eidechad is neman b'isurim, as long as it doesn't run up against its chazak isura, some previous status quo. You have to ask yourself the question, why do we care? What's wrong with overcoming? Why is it so difficult to overcome the status quo? You have to remember that the status quo does not per se, it's not a compelling piece of evidence. It establishes what we're up against. In other words, that we're trying to change the previous situation. But it per se doesn't make a particular scenario more or less compelling. If you believe the source for change, then there's no reason to be particularly queasy about executing the change based on that source. So if somebody comes along and you believe him and he says, I know that this tvua, which previously at one point was tevel, right? You weren't allowed to eat it. Tvua that grew in Eretz Yisrael. Without being mafresh, trumas and maisers, you can't eat it. That's part of the process. Or meat on the plate. At one point, it was either Eber Menachai or Eno Zavuach, whatever the case may be. Something had to change for it to be kosher meat. But if you believe the source, right, there's no reason to hesitate. So if a Yachad comes along and he says, it's kosher meat, or it is tevua metukenes, you wouldn't hesitate to believe him. Now, that happens to be a case where everybody agrees you believe him, We'll discuss why in just a second. I'm just using that as an example. But who had been any other case of keneged ischazik isura? If you believe the source, right, there's nothing particularly problematic about implementing the change. So if the Gemara says that a nachron nemim bisurim cannot overcome the barrier of ischazik isura, it implies that we don't absolutely have faith in the Eid Echad. In a way, if we're talking about ischazik isura as a barrier, and you contrast it, for example, to rov, right? Sometimes we have, you know, very strong probability. Is Eid Echad nemim keneged rov? That's a big argument, big issue. The Shev Shmaitza in Shmaitza Vav actually has a big discussion about this. There are earlier Bachronim that he quotes, and there are people after him as well discuss this question. Normally we say Ruba V'Chazaka, as we discussed a little bit last year, Ruba V'Chazaka, Ruba Adif. Probability is stronger than presumption. Presumption just means status quo. Rove, probability, means the likelihood that something is actually so. So normally we say Ruba V'Chazaka, Ruba Adif. A lot of the Achronim said, well, if a Nechad cannot overcome this Chazak Isura, then certainly it cannot overcome a Rov, because a Rov is stronger than a Chazaka. However, there's a lot of evidence that we do believe a Nechad against a Rov. How could that be? Well, we'll discuss that in a couple more minutes. The point I'm trying to make, though, is if you really believed a Nechad, if you felt it was the Shnayim Edom of Isurim, none of these should be a problem. If we believe them, we believe them. If, on the other hand, you say you can rely on an Eid Echad, but since he's not two Eidim, it's not the gold standard, there's always an element of uncertainty. Reliance? Yes. Full reliability? No. If you say that, so then we can understand there might be various barriers, whether it's Rove or whether it's Chazaka. It could be other areas as well. So this is a very, very important issue, a very important question. It might relate to the problem of do you need a source, and what is the source of Eid Echad Nemim Bisurim? So we mentioned a couple of weeks ago the Rashi in Yevamos, and the Yerushalmi in Kilayim, and the comments of the Ramban about Nida. All of which go the following way. Rashi says, in Yevamos, how do you know Eid Echad is Nemim Bisurim? Because it must be so. Otherwise, people would not be able to rely on the kashrus of their neighbor, and they couldn't eat in their homes. And I mentioned last time that Tosfos Yeshanim says, so they won't eat in their homes unless, you know, there's a proper mashgiach or other source of information that will establish kashrus. What? Okay, so you need two. Mashgichim, 100%. So that's the question. The Yerushalmi and Kilayim seems to say something like that as well. The Ramban says about Nida. He says, how can Nida be the source of Eid Echad Nemim Bisurim? After all, Nida is different because Ein Danin Efshar Mi'i Efshar. Meaning, in the case of Nida, there's a Tznius issue. Of course you have to rely on the Isha. You have no choice. Ain't done in Efshar, Mi'i Efshar. If you have to rely on it, with you know, when you don't have an alternative, doesn't mean that you'll rely on Eid Echad when you do have an alternative. The implication of the Ramban is, at that point, in terms of that argument at least, that Eid Echad Nemim Bisurim is something less than certainty. It's a reliance. You are making a bit of a concession by accepting the statement of the Eid Echad. And if that's true, again, we can understand its limitations. Maybe not connected as Chazak Isura, and so on. However, the Bali Tosis do explain that the source of Eid Echad Nemim Bisurim is Ishanida, the Safrala. Obviously, they're not worried about this argument, Dunin, Ain Dunin Efshar Mi'i Efshar, because they don't think that it's a concession. They think that, you know, the idea that you would believe someone, all things being equal, that every Jew has nemanus, as long as they're not a chashud, is davar pashut. That's a working, you know, basis for any interaction, you know, between members of a, you know, closely knit society. That's called nemanus. We don't have any kind of hesitation to rely on that. So, if that's the case, then Eid Echad is Neman, based on the Safrala as well. The Rashi in Chulin, actually, on the Yudim Beis, has the following line. Rashi says, Eid Echad is Neman Bisurim, because the Torah says, V'shachat has ben abakar, or v'zavachta. The Torah doesn't say you need two witnesses to tell you that the Shechita went well, that the Haktara went well. And then Rashi adds, after all, when the Torah says Al Pishnayim Edim Yakum Davar or the Kol Avon the Kol Chatas, it means exactly that. For Avon and for Chatas, you need two. But for anything less than that, it's sufficient with one. Meaning the exception is the requirement of the gold standard of two witnesses. The rule is Eid Echad Neman Bisurim. Almost opposite of what Rashi says in Yevamos. The point is, there seems to be this debate, both in terms of the source and the nature of how we rely or what we rely on in Eid Echad Neman Bisurim. Rashi here is very interesting. Rashi says Eid Echad Neman Bisurim, Shaharei Hemina Torah Kol Echad B'Echad MiYisrael, Al Afrashas Truma Al Ashkita Al Nikar Agid VaAchelav. Very famous Rashi. Meaning, what's an example of Eid Echad Neman Bisurim? The belief that Truma was taken, that Shechita was done, that the fat or the gid was cut out of the meat that needs to be cut out, and so on. But then, when the Gemara says, when do we believe Eid Echad? When it's not Ischazik Yisura. But when it's Ischazik Yisura, we don't believe him. So look at Rashi there. Two Rashis later. Hocha Ischazik. Now, once the Gemara says that with this Chazak Yisura, you don't believe the Eid Echad, Rashi knew that he was in trouble. Why? Because Rashi just said, what's an example of Eid Echad Neman Bisurim? You believe the guy that the meat is kosher, you believe the guy that the Tvua was subject to Afrasha, you believe the guy that the Chelev and the Gid were cut out of the meat and you can eat it. Those are all cases of Ischazik Yisura.